Hello, I'm Jeff Watts, and welcome to Optometric Quarterly 90. In this edition of OQ, we have interviews on the discovery of a new corneal layer, the cosmetic use of glaucoma treatments, and a review of visual field assessment techniques. In the quarterly review, Jeff Robison discusses, amongst others, papers on the effects of refractive error and blurred vision on driving performance, the relationship between preferred sleeping position and asymmetric visual field loss in open-angle glaucoma patients, and ultra-wide-field fluorescein angiography by oral administration of fluorescein. Visit the Docket website at www.docket.info on your computer, tablet, or smartphone to access current and past editions of Optometric Quarterly. You can also download OQ as a podcast from the iTunes Store or direct to your iPhone or iPad using the free Docket OQ app from the App Store. And why not send us your feedback on the program? You can let us know your thoughts by completing our survey using the OQ app or website, or emailing inquiries at docket.info. Last year, Professor Harminder Dewar and his team from Nottingham University published a paper in the British Journal of Ophthalmology outlining the existence of a new corneal layer. Rarely does a discovery have similar potential to transform our understanding of such a wide range of topics. Comprising thin plates of collagen, but very strong, Dewar's layer is located between the corneal stroma and Descemet's membrane. Professor Harminder Dewar is Chair of Ophthalmology and Head of the Division of Ophthalmology and Visual Sciences at the University of Nottingham and President of the Royal College of Ophthalmologists. Here he discusses the discovery with Gordon Carson and its implications in optometry.
So, Professor, congratulations on the exciting discovery. Could you begin by explaining what this new corneal layer is?
Well, thank you. Yes, this new corneal layer is a layer of collagen located at the back of the cornea, just anterior to the Descemet's membrane. It is about 6 to 16 microns thick, but a very tough layer that resists a bursting pressure of about 700 millimeters of mercury. It is acellular, that means we have seen it doesn't have any keratocytes in it, and it extends right from the center to the periphery where it opens up as the core of the trabecular meshwork.
So what evidence previously suggested the existence of this new layer?
That is something we had been looking at when we did the corneal surgery, particularly the operation called deep anterior lamellar keratoplasty. Now, just to take a step back, the most important problem with corneal grafts is rejection, and corneal grafts fail due to rejection. And the most important layer that gets rejected is the endothelium, which is the inner lining of the cornea. So for people who have problems of the front of the cornea, of the stroma, and where the endothelium is normal, people have said, why do we transplant the endothelium? So let's find a way of keeping the patient's own endothelium. And they developed this operation whereby you can inject air into the cornea. You can inject other things as well, but this is the most popular, is the air technique. And the air forms a big bubble, and the bubble separates the Descemet's membrane from the rest of the stroma. Then you can cut out the rest of the stroma, leaving the Descemet's membrane behind, and transplant the new cornea without its Descemet's membrane. So you completely eliminate the risk of rejection. Seemed like a very good idea. And we've been doing this operation for a number of years. But during these operations, this is in patients, in humans, we noted that things were not adding up. Firstly, after separating with the bubble, the tissue was pretty resilient. It didn't look like it was Descemet's membrane. It's very easy to peel off Descemet's membrane from the cornea because for the donor, that's what we do. We peel it off and throw it away. But sometimes when you inject, you don't get a bubble to the full extent you want. And when you're cutting it, you see certain strands attaching the bit you're removing to the Descemet's membrane. Now, when you remove the Descemet's membrane from stroma, you don't see the strands. When you're removing stroma from Descemet's membrane, you see strands. So they said, that can't be right. There must be a different plane we're working in. And similarly, when you pass your stitch to stitch a cornea for a full thickness graft, we see a very sharp edge because we're not supposed to go through and through. we come just anterior to desmous membrane, and we said the sharp edge is due to desmous membrane. But in this deep anterior lamellar keratoplasty procedure, you've taken away the desmous membrane from the donor, but you still saw that edge. We said, ah, these clues are telling us that we are working in a different plane. So that led to the hypothesis that there is this layer, which is quite distinct from the desmous membrane. And then we set out to prove that hypothesis by doing the same operation in the lab in iBank eyes. And we were able to prove that there was this new layer. And the most important indication for the new layer, if you like, my eureka moment, was that when we injected this bubble in the eye, in an iBank eye, you can see the bubble. And there it was, this nice big bubble, and we could completely peel off the desmous membrane from the bubble, and the bubble remained intact. So it told us clearly that there was this other layer inside. So that's one of the ways we were able to determine its existence.
Great. So eureka indeed. So how do you differentiate the cells to determine the existence of this new layer distinctly?
Yes, what we did was that one of them was, like I said, we peeled the desmous off and we found it was still there. Now, in some instances, when we inject air, you get a bubble which goes across the whole surface of the cornea. In some instances, the bubble starts in the center and stays no more than 9 millimeters. But the first type actually always starts at the edge of the cornea and comes across. And for the second type, where it starts from the edge and comes right across, if you peel the desmous, the bubble immediately collapses. So we knew now that what's happening is that in some patients, when you inject air, you get this very thin bubble, which is actually separating the desmous membrane. But 80% of times, you get this one which is in front of this other layer, this other tissue which we had hypothesized. So that gave us a very clear idea of what's going on. And also, we were sometimes getting both together. So part of it was the central nice big one, which was complete. But the other bit, the thin one, was only like a crescent. And for long, surgeons have known that we can sometimes get a funny kind of bubble appearance in the eye. And they had attributed that to a split in the desmous membrane. And we were able to now show that it wasn't a split, it was these two different layers. So clearly, to answer your question, we took each of these layers from the three different kinds of bubbles, the type 1, which we call the central one, the type 2, which is the large thin one, and the mixed ones. And we took these layers and we subjected them to histology by light microscopy, to electron microscopy, both scanning and transmission, and by immunohistology to look for proteins within these, for collagens and other proteoaminoglycans. But doing all these studies, we were able to show it has very distinct characteristics than the rest of the cornea.
So a very unique layer.
Yes, quite unique, yes. I mean, it had a lot of similarities to the cornea. Obviously, it's part of the cornea. But equally, there are certain features that are quite distinct enough to make it a layer in its own entity, to give it its own identity.
So do you anticipate any further analysis of the layer to develop our understanding further?
What we're doing now is we're looking at how this layer might be, because at the back of the eye is so strong, might be actually keeping the shape of the cornea the way it is. So you can imagine, like, the cornea is like a bow. The front is the wooden part of the bow, and the string is what keeps the shape. So that string might be a function of this layer. So its role in the biomechanics of the cornea is what we're investigating now. We've just sent an amendment to our ethics approval to let us do mechanical testing on this layer. And we have already got collaboration set up with our own physics department in the University of Nottingham and with the University of Cardiff in the optometry school. Professor Keith Meek is going to help us with. And we've also had Professor John Marshall going to collaborate with us on this. So three of the big experts will be looking at the biomechanics. So that's our next area of investigation.
And we'll know just how strong it is and
and how it determines the shape of the cornea, and going forward, how this then affects the pressure within the eye and the drainage of aqueous and so forth.
What do you foresee as the effect on the way optometrists assess and manage patients perhaps with glaucoma or corneal disease?
I think it's very early to say specifically for optometrists, but I think any clinician looking at the eye will have at the back of his mind that this layer is there. And if diseases like acute hydrops occur in patients or a desmitocele walks into primary care, for instance, then people will be thinking about this. And in another piece of work we've just completed, and that too has been published, we looked at the extreme periphery of this layer. And what we were able to show is that the layer actually continues as the trabecular meshwork. Now that's scientifically a very significant observation. If you look at my forearm is like rigid and then opens up into my fingers. So you can imagine that's what the layer does. It's a circular sheet, and at the periphery, this layer, which is made up of about 5 to 8 lamellae or layers of collagen, open up. And these collagen strands then go on to form the trabecular meshwork. And that then brings into play so many things in relation to glaucoma. Now, we know that corneal thickness affects pressure measurement, not only the measurement, but also the progress of glaucoma and the effect of glaucoma. The thinner eyes have a different prognosis in terms of cupping of the disc as well than eyes with thicker corneas. And we also know that, you know, with every heartbeat, the cornea pulsates. With every blink, you have pressure on the cornea. Every eye-rubbing movements patient might do. And now, because we know that this layer actually extends to the trabecular meshwork, we are influencing the drainage of aqueous. So it probably has implications for glaucoma. What they are, we don't know. But other than saying that it's very early days to predict what role it might play, we can only say that it will direct attention and direct the attention of some research towards the role of this layer in the drainage of aqueous and the pressure control in the eye. So in a sentence, like when the rest of the cornea merges with the sclera, this layer actually opens up into the trabecular meshwork, and it makes a lot of sense now.
So it's something we just need to keep watching?
Yes, yes.
So in summary, are the textbooks wrong? Should we consider the cornea as a 6-layer structure?
Well, I think at the moment, what I'll say is that we have to factor this layer in to all our considerations about the cornea. It is very distinct, as I've said, in many ways. One of the things we found about this layer is that the keratocytes are non-existent, at least in our work so far. In the wall of the bubble, there are no keratocytes. We've also found that there's a lot of type 6 collagen in this layer. We found that there is more long-spacing collagen in this layer than in the rest of the cornea. And most importantly, this layer is impervious to air. So when you inject air in the cornea, air goes everywhere, but this layer doesn't let air through it. Even if you take the desmous membrane away and inject air, you can still make this layer. So it has got that distinctness to it. Surgeons relate to it better, like I've said it already 2 or 3 times. The other anatomist might not yet. So surgical anatomy of the eye, yes, it is a new layer. The anatomist perception of layers, is it? Time will tell. So we don't know. But I just wanted to clarify here that when I first presented this data publicly at the meeting in Milan, it was the EuCornea Annual Congress. It was Donald Tan, who's the then president of the Cornea Society and also chairman of Cornea Services in Singapore, who said the test books will have to be rewritten because he, as a surgeon, he related to the findings. He also went on to say, I now understand so much about this operation, which I never knew before. Because we were doing it, things were happening, and we were just saying, oh, well, you know, it's happened. Nobody knew what was happening. Now we know exactly what's happening. So perhaps yes is a short answer.
We'll wait and see.
Yeah.
Thank you, Harminder and Gordon.